I'm a Zoe Shabbos, but we say Habrocha.
Quiet!
We recite a Bracha Barpi Agafen. That's a Birchas HaNehenen. That Bracha has to be recited before you drink the wine. Then we recite a Bracha later in the Nusach, you say Tori Mini Besamim. But Mini Besamim is also a Birchas HaNehenen. You have to say the Bracha before you smell the Tzah. Then we say the bracha, Bar Miari Ho'esh. The Bar Miari Ho'esh is a big machlekes achronim. Is that really a bichas hanenin? So you should recite the bracha before you get hanoya from the flame. Or should you say, no, you don't recite Bar Miari Ho'esh all week long every time you get hanoya from the fire, from the light? The Medrash says, the Gemara has this Medrash, that our Kodesh Baruch Hu taught Adam HaRishon Mitzvah Shabbos, how to harness the energy from the fire. So it's on Mitzvah Shabbos, we reminisce about the fact that that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught Adam HaRishon how to use the energy from the fire. So it's really a Bichas HaShevach, a Bichas HaDor. So Bichas HaShevach, a Bichas HaDor, B'davka has to be recited, Lachar Asiyasam. When you see a beautiful mountain, or you see a beautiful ocean, or a lake, or something, or you see lightning, or you hear thunder, so you say the bracha after you hear the thunder, after you see the lightning, after you see the beautiful mountain. Or if you see a beautiful person, a good-looking, handsome person, so you say the bracha after you see Birchas HaShevach, or Birchas HaDor, it's always recited after you experience the beautiful thing. So the Yismach Moshe has a dratera about this. He discusses this Machlokes Achronim in his Sefer on Chumash. The Yismach Moshe's family name was Teitelbaum. The Chassam Sefer, he was older than the Chassam Sefer, but the Chassam Sefer has a tshuva which he said to him, where he starts off by praising him and saying that the pasuk says Tzadik Katam Yifrach, Tzadikim are like date trees, and a Teitelbaum is a date tree. He said that's why the name was Rav Moshe Teitelbaum, because Tzadik, and the pasuk says Tzadik Katam Yifrach. The Yismach Moshe originally was a big Talmud Chacham, he was not a Chassid. And then after he married his daughter off to a great Talmud Chacham who was a Chassidishet, his son-in-law later, when he got married, he hadn't yet written the Sefer, but later on his son-in-law was the Talmud of the Ksos HaChoshen. And he wrote a Sefer that's a knockout Shuvah Sefer that I enjoy. That's called Aryeh Divrei Eloyah. Aryeh Divrei Eloyah means the lion from the higher region, means a tiger. In the Gemara, they didn't have a word for a tiger, so they call a tiger Aryeh Divrei Eloyah. So he felt that he was fantastic, like a tiger, ferocious like a tiger. So that's what he called his tshuvas. So after his daughter, after Rav Moshe Teitelbaum's daughter married this chassidish young man, the son-in-law convinced the father-in-law he should go visit by the chazer from Lublin. So he went to visit him, and he was so taken by his Yerushamayim, his Midas Chassidus, and everything, that he became a Chassid. And then, years later, after the Lublin Chassid passed away, the Koshinitz and Magid passed away, so the Chassidim didn't have anybody to go to, so then they started going to the Yismach Moshe. He became a Chassidish Rebbe later in life. All the learning that he did was in the early years. After he became a Chassidish Tzaddik, they say he was davening all day long and doing Tzedakah V'Chesed all day long. That's the Lashon that they said. I said the other day that the Hungarians say that there were three Talmid Chachamim in the same generation with the same name, Moshe. They say the Chassam Sefer, and Moshe Sefer Galan, then Geken. He was always learning. He gave a shiur every day of the year except for Tisha B'Av, and then Geken. And they say, the Hungarian size it up in contrast to the Chassam Sefer, they don't think the Maram Shik knew how to learn as well as the Chassam Sefer. I said, in yeshivas today, the Maram Shik is more accepted than the Chassam Sefer. His style is more yeshivish. But by the Hungarians, they say the Maram Shik are galant and nishgiken. And they say the Heshev Moshe, But Moshe Teitelbaum, the Ismat Moshe, er Nishgalan and er Tiket. Means in the later years he wasn't learning, he was always davening all day long and meeting people and listening to all of their stories, all of their troubles, and helping them out. Stock of a chesed and er Tiket. So the Ismach Moshe is a Chassidische Vertlach on Chumash. In one of the, I don't remember which sedra, one of the sedras, he has this discussion about the Bar Miori Hoesh, but the Bar Miori, he quotes a machlokes achrayim, whether it's a birchas hashevach or it's a birchas hanenim, whether the bracha should be recited over lasiyasa, before you look at your fingernails, adav galachar asiyasa. There is a, only one of the Yisrael Moshe has a volume of tshuvas that's called Heshiv Moshe. I'm sure they're all knockout tshuvas. I'm only familiar with two of them. One of them is where he disagreed with Rabbi Akiva Eger. There is a din that chametz. This comes up every year. The shaila comes up every year. The din is that chametz kodem haPesach is bottle b'shishim. Chametz b'Pesach is b'mashu. Then there's another din that if you haven't used, let's say, have a treifa pot or a fleshik pot that hasn't been used for the last 24 hours, we assume that if I cook kosher food in the treifa pot or I cook milk in the fleshik pot after 24 hours, so we assume that the bliya, the treifa bliya, or the fleshik bliya that will go into the milk will be considered nice and tam lagam, and nice and tam lagam is bottle. Ramah is machmer in Shulchan Aruch that if by mistake someone cooks some Pesach tikka food and a chametz tikka pot in the middle of Chalamot, let's say the wife goes away and Chalamot goes shopping, the husband is left alone at home, so the husband forgot that it's Pesach, so he's going to take a chametz tikka pot which clearly has not been used in the last 24 hours. First 2 days of Pesach the wife was running the kitchen, so she wasn't using the chametz tikka pot. The husband, that happens every year, somebody calls me up at this shaila. The wife went away, chalamai, the husband by mistake took the chametz de kapat and he cooked some water for coffee or whatever. So the din is that there are more paskins that even though a tray for a pot that hasn't been used for 24 hours is considered nos and tam lagam, but nos and tam lagam is based on bitl. So since chametz bitpesach is b'mashu, that can't be bothered. So the shaila is that case. Let's say the husband took the chametz dik frying pan and he cracked open eggs and he made scrambled eggs and he used a pesach dik spoon. So the eggs he shouldn't eat because nesn tam lagam is mashu, chametz dik pesach is mashu. But then what about the pesach dik spoon that he was using? So do you say the pesach dik spoon also becomes chametz dik? So the dinner said, yes, chametz b'pesach is b'mashu. So the question is, do I have to now kasha the spoon? Maybe I can just put the spoon away till next year. By the time it comes next Pesach, that'll be chametz shenizvato kodem haPesach. The chametz was b'mashu before, let's say, next Pesach is tavshinayin vav. But the tarubas occurred on Pesach tavshinayin hey. So when it comes Pesach tavshinayin vav, do I consider the spoon as chametz in his battle kodem haPesach avtav shenayin vav? So it is battle b'shishim. Or do you say no? Ein bitl elam tchilas atarubis. The shayla began on the spoon on Pesach, even though it's Pesach tav shenayin hey, and now we're talking Pesach tav shenayin vav. But since the shayla occurred on Pesach, so either his battle is not, have to determine when the atarubis occurred. Chametz b'Pesach is b'mashu. So the Heshiv Moshe is machmir. And Rabbi Kiveger has a tshuva where he's making. So the Moira Harua are makel on the spoon. The Moira Harua makel against the Heshiv Moshe. They makel like Rabbi Kiveger. That's a famous tshuva that the Stechema talks a lot about, that machlokes between Rabbi Kiveger and the Heshiv Moshe. There's another tshuva that's more famous than all the others in the Heshiv Moshe. There was an issue that many Rabbanim were involved in, and the Nesivus was also involved. Nesivus was also a contemporary at that time. There was a Shailan HaShoichet. The Shoichet was accepted in a certain town to be the official Shoichet, And then they heard that this shochet had been involved in a scandal in a different community, where it was Yodua before he was taken in this community. It was known that he was involved in a scandal with a married woman, someone else's wife, in a different community. But it was only rumors. It wasn't ascertained. So the shaila was, they assumed, if you already appointed a person to a position of leadership, and then there's a call of the Leipasik about him, the rumor has it that he's not Roy, so then you can't drop him from the position. Unless he ascertained that he really did this avera. But if the scandal occurred before you hired him, then the hiring was by mistake. So over here, the scandal was already known in the other village. In our village where we hired him, it wasn't known. But that's what the Yismach Moshe wrote, and it's true that this is, I think the Chuvas were written before he became a Chassidish Rebbe. They consider him the first Chassidish Rebbe in Hungary. I think so, to the best of my knowledge. They consider the Yismach Moshe the first. So he writes in his tshuva that this was, they corresponded with the author of the Chavos Da'as, that's in the Sivis, and he said the same, because the scandal was known in the other village, so that's why it's considered as if it was before. See, unfortunately, I meet the different Chassidish tzaddikim from time to time, and I was never so impressed by them. Maybe if I'd see the Lina Chosen, I would be, I would fall in love, I would become a Chassidish person. I don't know, in our generation I haven't met those big tzaddikim, the Chassidish Rebbe, that I should get swept off of my feet. And here was a big Talmud Chacham. They say the pre-tzaddik was also like that. Rav Tzadik HaKohen was also like that. He was originally a big Talmud Chacham on the Snagit, and for some reason or another, I don't remember the whole story, he needed a Hetmei Meir Rabbanim. He wanted to marry a second wife. He needed a Hetmei Meir Rabbanim. So today the practice is that the rabbinical organization, or a Beis Din, will send out letters to several hundred Rabbanim. And usually a Beis Din of three will send out letters. Usually 97 of the Rabbanim will respond that they too are mitzaref to the Hetmei Meir, 97 and 3 is 100 Hetmei Meir Rabbanim. But then, in the early 1800s, the practice used to be that the husband who needed the Hetmei Rabbanim would travel around by foot. He would travel himself to meet all of the different Rabbanim. Let's say that Rav Tzadok HaKohen originally was a Misnagid, a big Talmud Chacham, a Misnagid. He personally needed the Hetmei Rabbanim for himself. He went around from village to village speaking to all the Rabbanim. And then he met Chassidish Tzadikim, and he was swept off of his feet. And he was converted to become a Chassidish Tzadik, Chassidish Rebbe. They say that his Koyach HaTfilah of Yismach Moshe, in the later years, when he became a Chassidish Rebbe, he was davening all day long, davening. The Koyach HaTfilah he could accomplish a lot, but he wanted to hide it a little bit, that people shouldn't realize how powerful his Koyach HaTfilah is. So he used to write them kameyas, and he used to attribute the Hatzola and the Yeshua that the people had. He said it's a little bit due to the tefillas, a little bit due to the kameyas, and it wasn't really true. And he himself knew that it was all due to the tefillas. He was a big nistar. It's interesting, when Nechsam Seifer was married to his first wife, he had no children. And he knew that there were tzaddikim to go to be mispalo, to be pearl Yeshua to have children. But he said his Rebbe, his main Rebbe was Rav Nosson Adler. Sam Seifer was brought up in Frankfurt, so his two Rabbeim were the Hafloah and Rav Nosson Adler. Rav Nosson Adler also only had a daughter, and the daughter, I think, never got married, so he didn't have any other children. And he also, Sam Seifer said, my Rebbe could have been mispalo. He could have gone to Tzadikim, he could have done also to do things to be pearl Yeshua, says. His Rebbe didn't do it, so he's not going to do it either. So he never had any children from his first wife. Until he married the second wife, after the first wife passed away, he married the second wife. That's when he had all of his children. So he said there was a different era. Some Sefer picked up his Rebbe, Rav Nosson Adler, not to look for that mahala, not to be misfollowed for Nisi. That's how the Mishnah says in Brachas, it's not permissible to be misbalo for Nisim. On Chanukah, it says in the Gemara that when a person eats a meal, he's not strictly speaking, he's not really obligated to recite Allah Nisim in Brichas Abbas. The Chachamim Ronim Misakin to recite Allah Nisim in the Shemoneh Esrei, Shachris, Mincha, Ma'ariv, and even Musaf on Shabbos. Even though Chanukah is not Mechayev Musaf, but on Shabbos, Chanukah, you have to mention Allah Nisim in all four tefillos. But in Brichas Abbas, the Gemara says you're not obligated to eat a meal on Chanukah, you're not permitted to kiss, but you're not obligated to have a meal. So therefore you're not obligated to mention Allah Nisim in Brichas Abbas, but it's optional. We don't say that it's a hepsik, since you don't have to. It's like talking about the weather, talking about the politics. The Gemara says it's rishus, if you want to, you may. So the Shulchan Aruch says that if a person forgot to say Allah Nisim on Chanukah and Purim, since it's only Bishus, it's obvious that he doesn't have to repeat the whole Bichas HaMazon. He wasn't obligated in the first place. It's only a minig to recite Allah Nisim. So nonetheless, one, the Ramah writes, if one forgot to say Allah Nisim and Bichas HaMazon on Chanukah, after the benching is over, when he says V'olam Alichas Reinu, so then we add on a lot of Chinas, we add on Harachman, Imach Aleinu Yavavad, Rachman is brought by Shemayim Lugaritz, and so many other Harachmans. Shabbos and Yontav, you add another Harachman. So you should add another Harachman on Chanukah. Rachman Yasavan and Nisim in the Floes, Geshem Shasin Salabasena by Yam and Vaim, Bazman and Zeh, then you continue. May Matisah Ben Yochan and Kain Gol. So the Shari Tshuva next to the Beheta quotes a Kashuf and the Panim Meiris. Panim Meiris was the one who was the Rav in Eisenstadt, the Mayor Eisenstadt. That was the grandson of the Shach's sister. So the Parameiris has bothered with the Kasha. How are you permitted to ask for an S? Rahman Yasalon and Nisim in the Flores, Geshem Shalsisi Labaseno. The Mishnah says in Brochus, one is not permitted to ask for an S. If your wife is already pregnant, you're not allowed to ask for an S. It should be a boy, it should be a girl, whatever it is. Not allowed to ask for an S to change. So they ask, how can we ask her, how can you say such a Nusach HaTvila? So that Parameiris gives the three klalim. In Harachman, we're asking for an S on behalf of Klal Yisrael. So Klal Yisrael is a lemalim in Ateva. You're not asking for a yoch. So that's klal number one. Klal number two is if you have unusual tzaddikim, so they're also shokol, keneged, shishim ribo. So the Gemara has a whole perek in Maseches Tainis about different tanoim and amoroim who did pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yes, the Rabban Shalom to do nisim for them. And it was permissible, and the Rabban Shalom did the nisim, because unusual tzaddikim are also lemalim in Ateva. Then, of course, the third klal is an obvious one. The only nes that one is not permitted to ask for is an eis nigla. There's for an eis nister. That's certainly permissible. Eis nister means hashgacha pratis. Eis nigla means you want the Rabban Shalom to change teva, so that's not proper to ask. So the Chasam Sofer's policy was he picked everything up. He was always with his rabbi, picked everything up. He was always there with his rabbi, he saw all of his anoga. So he says, his rabbi never had such anoga. His rabbi didn't have children. His rabbi could have also done this power that Rav Shlom should give him a Yeshua. Could have also, with the Karachatvila. But his rabbi held that it's not right, so the Sam Sofer also didn't do it. But the Yismach Moshe picked this up from the Chassidish Tzaddik, but not the Pina Chayza and so on. It's interesting that after his daughter married this Chassidish young man, and the son-in-law convinced the father-in-law just to visit the Lubina Chayza, he never had any shaykhs with Chassidim. He was a regular, just plain Talmud Chacham. And then he was swept off of his feet by the Lubina Chayza and became the first Chassidish Rebbe in the Hungarian area. Then he had a whole dynasty. His descendants were the title bound, going down to the Satpara Rebbe. Talk about his descendants in the coming days.
Yetiv Lev was also
Yetiv
with two youths. His name was Yisrael Yehuda, title bound. And he was a grandson of the Yismach Moshe. He was the Rav, the Sof Yomiv, he was the Rav in Sigit. And before, previously, the brother of the Tzais HaChoshen had been the Rav in Sigit. So it was a Galician. So they they have the story in the history books that when the Yetzer fled with Bar Mitzvah, so he prepared his own Shtickel Torah to say the Kabbat the Bar Mitzvah. So the grandfather warned him, the Yismach Moshe warned him that his uncle is going to be there. The daughter of the Yismach Moshe married this big Talmud Chacham, wrote the Sefer Shabbos and Shuvos Aryeh Debei. He was the one who convinced his father-in-law, the Yismach Moshe, to go visit the Lublina Chayzen. So the grandfather told the grandson, you better be careful when you say you're pshetl by the Bar Mitzvah, because the uncle is going to be there. He's going to rip you apart if you say something that he doesn't like. That's why he called the Sefer Aryeh Debei, like a tiger. So he said he's prepared to do this. This Yetiv Lev, he had a yeshiva, and his talmidim played a tremendous role. His talmidim were rabbanim and shochtim and malamdim and Moira Heron, and so on. They had a big hashpoah and everything that was going on in Hungary. Ohel was the second rabbanus of the Yismach Moshe. The first rabbanus of the Yismach Moshe was in Shinever, that's in Galicia. And the one before him, immediately before him, was the Rebbe Reb Shmelke, who was later on in Nicholsburg. And he felt very uncomfortable filling the position because he felt the Rebbe Shmelke so much bigger than him. And then his second rabbanus was here in Ulam. 2 days ago on Shabbos, we davened mincha, we had Shabbos Shudas in the Chabad house. So the first Lubavitcher Rebbe has the whole second section of the Tanya that's called Shar HaYichud Beho Emunah. It's based on a pasuk in Parshas Vayeschana, in the Parshas HaShavua from this past Shabbos. The pasuk is the one that we recite in Aleinu, V'yadata Hayom HaShigosa El Olecho. You should realize that Hashem Hu Elokim Hashemayim Ma'al Ha'aretz Bitochas Ein Od. So the Baal HaTanya writes, what does it mean, Ein Od? That there's no God hiding below the surface of the earth, and there isn't another God hiding in the water. Another pasuk like that. No, it does mean there's no other God. That we know, Hashem Echad, monotheism. Ein Od means that nothing else exists outside of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the whole world does exist. So the Baal HaTanya quotes from the Rambam, because he said he had to. He quotes a pasuk in Yirmiyah, Hashem Elokim Emes. The Mishnah in Bracha says that when a person is davening, chakras in between Yotzer HaMa'oros and Abba Rabba, you're permitted to answer Kaddish and Kedusha, and so on. In between Abba Rabba and Shema, you're permitted to be Mapsik, of Ne'akovah, of Ne'ayira, you're allowed to answer Kaddish Kedusha, Omein, so on. In between Shema V'Hayom Shemaya, in between Vayom Shemaya and Vayomer, but in between Vayomer and Emes V'Yatziv, there's a Machlekes HaTanoim. The accepted opinion is like Rav Yudah, the Tana, that one is not permitted to be mafsik at all. And we say the words together, the last two words in Kriya Shema, Ani Hashem Alakechem, and then we start the first words in Emes, Hashem Alakechem Emes, we say together, based on that prosik in Navi, in Yirmiyah, that says, Hashem Alakim Emes. What does it mean, Hashem Alakim Emes? God never tells a lie. It's not true. Once in a while, we learn out from God that once in a while it's a mitzvah to tell a lie. And the Rebbe Shalom told Avraham Avinu that he should give Tochacha to Sarah why she left. When she heard the Malachim say she was going to have a baby, so she really said, I can have a baby. My husband is already so old. But then he's okay. The Rebbe Shalom didn't tell that part to Avraham Avinu. He was Mishanim Ipnei Darkir Shalom. So he said, Panizo Kanti. Rebbe Shalom told Avraham Avinu that Sarah said, I'm an old lady, how can I have a baby? But she really said, my husband is too old to have a baby. So you see from the Rebbe Shalom that it's mitzvah Mishanim Ipnei Darkir Shalom. So it does mean that God never tells a lie. Hashem Elokim Emes. Hashem Elokim Emes means that the only thing that truly exists is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything else only has, that's what the Rambam explains, everything else only has a contingent existence. The Ribbono Shel Olam created everything Yesh Me'ayin. It means that the nature of the whole world is that nothing exists outside of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So if the Ribbono Shel Olam has a will, Basar Mamaris Nivra Ha'olam, Ribbono Shel Olam has a Ratzon, that grass should grow, and there should be an earth, there should be stars, there should be people and animals and trees and vegetables and so on. So everything would come into existence for a split second, and then if the Ratzon Hashem would no longer be there, everything would flop back into non-existence. So it must be that the Rebbeinu Shlomo has a continued wish, a continued desire. That's what it means. Hamechavish b'tuva b'chol yom tovid ma'aseh bereishis. What would it have to be mechavish b'tuva? So the Baal HaTanya explains, not the same as a person. Before I was born, the lumber exists, and the metal is there. So people take the metal and they make nails, and they take the trees and they make lumber beams. I take the beams and a hammer. I take things that exist already. The beams of wood exist, and the nails exist, and the hammer exists. I bang nails and I make a whole bookcase, I make a whole house, whatever. So even after I walk away, even after I die, the house is going to exist, because everything existed before I came on the scene. I just changed the shape of the thing. But when the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world, Yesh Me'ayin, the nature of everything was that nothing exists. So if he would no longer have his desire that the thing should come into existence and remain in existence, it would flap back into its natural state of non-existence. So that's what we mean when we say, Li'olam Hashem Dvor Chanitza B'Hashamayim. That's a pasuk in Tehillim. What do you mean? The word, Dvor Chanitza B'Hashamayim, the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, means Asar Mamoris. Asar Mamoris, when the Rebbeinu Shlomo said he wants people, he wants animals, he wants grass, he wants trees, his desire, his wish that things should come into existence happened, that things came into existence. And he has a continued wish that everything should continue to exist. And if he would remove that wish, that desire for a split second, everything would revert back and flop back into non-existence. So that's what we mean when we say Hashem Elokim Mem is the only thing that really exists in the world that has an independent existence, is the Ribbono Shel Olam. And everything else just has a contingent existence. And that's what it means in the pasuk, Yadata Hayom Hashibosa Elo Avecha. Einai means that nothing else really exists independently. The only thing that has an independent existence is the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Lubavitcher Minig is that on Pesach night they don't say Echad Miyodeya. Rav Soloveitchik was brought up in Lubavitcher village in Chaslavich, so he explained that the official reason why they don't say Echad Miyodeya is when you say Shema Yisrael Hashem Echad, what does it mean? So the Rambam says that it means that we believe in monotheism, one God, as opposed to other religions where they believe in more than one God. They believe in the Trinity and so on. So that's one level of interpretation. But the Gemara does not understand. Rashi has a different interpretation. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. The Ribbono Shel Olam, who is now only Elokeinu, only we are accepting him as Elokim, the day will come, Lasi Lava, that he will be Hashem Echad, he will be accepted by all the Mesoilot. That's how Rashi interprets. That the Pasuk is speaking about the future, the day will come. But the Gemara doesn't say Rashi's pshat, the Gemara doesn't say the Ramah's pshat, the Gemara has a different pshat. The Gemara understands Hashem Echad means Hashem is unique. Like the Gemara says on the Pasuk, it's HaKevis Echad Tasav HaBeker, HaKevis HaNiyuchad. Means that God is unique, there's nothing like Him. Nothing else exists independently. Of course it means monotheism. If there would be another God, there would be something else like Him. But that's not the main pshat in the pasuk Hashem Echad, is that God is unique. So that's why the Lubavitcher, the Minhag, they didn't want to say Echad Miyodeya. Because then you say 1, 2, 3, go all the way to 13. You're treating the pasuk Hashem Echad as if all you're saying is that there's only one God as opposed to the Trinity. We mean something else, Hashem Echad, that God is unique. There's nothing else in the whole wide world similar to Him. The Mela, He's monotheism. The Mela, there's only one. So that's the whole second section of the Tanya that's entitled Shah Yichud Ben Munah. It's all based on that pasuk and Parsha's Chana.